You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and I'm here with Sarah Mason from The Borough. She will introduce herself.
Well, thanks, Kayla. I'm Sarah Mason. I'm the Community Development Director at The Borough. I've been in this position for almost a year, but have been employed by The Borough a little bit longer than that. I came to The Borough as an associate planner by way of Juno. I used to joke with people that the only thing that could pull me away from Juno was Kodiak, so I had the opportunity to come, and here I am.
And you were in Fairbanks. We were talking about that, I think, last week.
Yes, I spent some time in Fairbanks as well, a couple years there. I was in Anchorage for a bit, but Kodiak always had my interest, and now it has my heart, so I think everybody's stuck with me.
And you worked for DOT, did you say?
I did. I did work for DOT. I worked for them when I was in Fairbanks as a regional employee, and I worked for DOT as well when I was in Juneau as a employee of DOT headquarters.
It seems like that gives you kind of a useful perspective for some of what the borough is working on. For instance, we spoke about Otmalloy, I think a couple of weeks ago, the Otmalloy road project that's been ongoing for a while before your time, and that's with DOT.
It is, yeah. That's a project that the borough and DOT have been collaborating on for quite some time. So we're hopeful that it'll move forward here in the next year or so. Having that statewide perspective has definitely been helpful. I worked with a lot of different communities when I was in Juneau and Fairbanks. Kodiak's my favorite, though.
It feels kind of like it's comparable to my own experiences where I came from New York City, which is large scale, and I went to very small scale. So I feel like DOT is such a big organization. So what's it like going from a gigantic organization like that to working for the borough?
It's been interesting. When you work for a smaller organization, as you probably know, you tend to wear more hats from day to day, but you also get to know more about the community and about the organization that you work for. So I think having that broader, you know, experience coming from a very large state agency has been beneficial because of the nature of what they do. I mean, they're kind of a well-oiled machine, and they've got a lot of good policies and procedures in place to streamline things, you know, for the benefit of their own employees and the public. And so I think there's ways to incorporate that, certainly, into working at the local level. I think the same thing can be said for, you know, the opposite situation, though, if you're going to a big organization from an organization as small as the Kodiak Island Borough, I can definitely say that I've learned a lot being here over the last year or so, too.
I have, too, just going from a big city to a small city. For instance, one of the things I learned was how to catch a runaway chicken, which is something I got to do this year. My landlady does have chickens, and so once upon a time this summer, she was away, and a chicken escaped, literally flew the coop using its wings, flew over the fence. We lost it in the night, and then the next morning I heard a clucking, and I followed the sound, and I found that chicken on top of a neighbor's roof, at which point I knocked on the person's door, and I said, "I believe that my chicken is on your roof. And I was wondering if you had a piece of bread to try to lure it down," which was somewhat successful. I got it down to the ground, and then I chased it around the yard for about 20 minutes, at which point it decided to cut between the streets and go towards the next avenue. And I did manage to grab onto its tail feathers before it escaped, luckily. And so I would never have imagined growing up in New York City that there would be an instance where I would have to capture a chicken. And that's one of the charms of Kodiak. And in fact, many people want the right to keep chickens in their yards. And that's why you're here today, is to talk about a chicken ordinance, the infamous chicken ordinance that's going on in the borough. Could you kind of give the origin story of what's going on there?
Definitely. Late last summer, We had a couple of complaints to our borough code enforcement officer related to the keeping of chickens on lots where the keeping of chickens isn't permitted. So our code enforcement officer followed up on that, and eventually the assembly, some of the assembly members got some complaints from some folks out in the borough asking why we were enforcing on these folks, and I think something that a lot of people weren't necessarily aware of was that the keeping of chickens and really agricultural uses in general are not permitted by borough code in the urban residential zoning districts, which is R1 single-family residential, R2 two-family residential, R3 multifamily residential, and then the RR zoning district, it's also prohibited, which is RR is really limited to the Woodland Drive area. So back in October, the assembly passed a moratorium on the enforcement of the land use regulations that prohibit the keeping of chickens in residential zoning districts. It's a little broader than that. It's referred to as the chicken ordinance and the chicken moratorium, but it's really the kind of the keeping of small animals that are useful to people, ducks, geese, things like that as well. So they put the moratorium in place in October. And in the same ordinance that they placed this moratorium, they also gave direction to the Planning and Zoning Commission to do a review of Title 17, which is the borough's zoning code, and take a look at how we address agricultural uses in the code and modify them to meet the needs of the community. And we've seen a lot more people keeping chickens over the last few years as I think there's been this shift towards, you know, being sustainable again, kind of going back to that small town, small farm sort of feel. We have a lot more people who are interested in becoming locavores, who prefer to eat locally grown food whenever they can. And a lot of the time, most of the time, in fact, the keeping of these small animals isn't a bother. So our code enforcement system is complaint-based. We don't have a proactive code enforcement officer who goes out looking for violations. So, I mean, since we've only had 8 complaints related to chickens over the last 4 years. So we're averaging 2 complaints a year about chickens, and I feel like everybody all over town has stories of how their neighbors or their friends or somebody down the street has chickens. So, I think the lack of complaints really is supporting that idea that that's what the community would like to see. So I think it was February. I brought this forward to the Planning and Zoning Commission just to introduce them to it, you know, the kind of the costs and benefits of keeping chickens in urban areas. And I presented that with a plan, not a set in stone plan in writing, but just kind of a timeline that I wanted to follow in terms of getting information to the public and soliciting feedback and then getting information back to them, back to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So what we decided on was a public meeting in March. At the March work session, I did kind of an update to P&Z, gave them a summary of how that meeting went, and then asked them if they would be okay with me drafting an ordinance based on the public comment that we received, and then bring that draft ordinance back to them in June after I'd had a chance to go to the public again with the draft ordinance so that they could actually have something to hold in their hand this time, and see what they thought. So P&Z was fine with that. So that's the plan for now. It'll be going to them at their June 14th work session. Maybe it's June 14th work session, which is a Wednesday at 6:30 in the Borough Conference Room. I'll be giving them a draft ordinance, and I'll be giving them an update with some more public feedback, because I'm having an additional public meeting next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers to talk about the draft ordinance, talk about how we got where we are now, talk about the ordinance itself, and then talk about how we're going to move forward, and the plans for when to move it along to the Assembly when P&Z is done with it, and things like that. So that's kind of it in a really big, long nutshell, I guess. But I want to underscore the fact that this isn't the borough placing additional restrictions on people. We actually want to lift restrictions and make it a little easier for people to feed themselves and, you know, have their pets and things like that. One thing that the ordinance didn't do, but the Assembly verbally directed staff to do, was to do a concurrent review of the animal control ordinance, which is Title VI of the borough, because most of the feedback that we've received from the public since this really kind of came to the forefront late last summer is that they don't want arbitrary restrictions on, you know, the number of birds or where you have to put your chicken coop, things like that, things that show up in some other land use codes. It seemed to be the consensus that we wanted minimal changes in Title 17 in the zoning code, and that the most appropriate place to regulate chickens and other animals is in animal control, and just make sure that we have adequate animal nuisance and animal welfare laws in place. So we're doing a concurrent review of Title VI. So the ordinance that goes before the Assembly is going to have both of those things in it, even though P&Z will only be discussing the zoning and land use changes.
To be fair to both sides, I think the benefits of keeping chickens is clear. You get to take benefit of all these fresh eggs every day, depending on how many chickens you have, or ducks, or whatever. So what are some of the complaints about?
There are definitely considerations for negative impacts when you're keeping livestock in urban areas, too. You're absolutely right. Chicken coops, and I mean, really, any kind of outdoor enclosure that you have for an animal, if it's not properly maintained, it's going to attract rats, it's going to attract mice, it's going to attract bears. So those are the things that we're trying to address with the animal control stuff. But you're right. It's it's got to be an even trade with, you know, your own personal property rights versus the rights of your neighbors to also enjoy their property. So we're trying to cover our bases, and we want to believe that, you know, 98% of the people will do the right thing, and just be a good neighbor and be mindful. But we want to make sure that, for the sake of people's neighbors and in close confined areas, and for the sake of the animals, that we're covering all our bases.
And one of the aspects of the code I noticed when looking over it, because I've been following the story for a little bit now, is rooster noises. Is people have been complaining of roosters waking them up in the morning?
Yeah, that's, roosters have been, I would say probably most of the complaints we've got have been related to roosters. And the way that the draft ordinance is written now, roosters would not be allowed in the urban residential districts. A common misconception is that roosters only make a lot of noise in the morning, and that's not true. They crow whenever they like. So that still would not be a permitted use. And then with the way that the ordinance is, the draft ordinance is written right now, it's written so that smaller animals are would be considered a permitted use, but you know, having cows or bison, those larger, you know, farm animals would not be allowed.
Okay. So I'd be very curious to speak with anyone who is interested in taking a bison into their backyard.
Interestingly enough, so I'm not an Alaskan. I was I'm an import. I grew up on the East Coast, and my grandparents had a lady down the street who had about a half an acre who had a pet buffalo. A pet buffalo.
She wasn't going to do anything with that buffalo.
No.
Just love it.
No, she just loved her buffalo. Yeah. So, they're out there, but.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that would be a really interesting story to speak with the Kodiak resident who had a pet buffalo. So there are, I'm sure, many people who have chickens who are not aware they're not allowed to have them. Kind of similar to ADU, which is accessory dwelling units. People have ADUs on their properties and not aware that they're not allowed to have that. Could you kind of explain what an ADU is and what makes it different from just renting out a room to someone?
Sure. So, as you said, there's a lot of folks here that have ADUs, whether they know that they're called ADUs or, you know, whether they're legal or not. Accessory dwelling units are also called mother-in-law apartments, granny flats. They're a residential use, but it's a use that's secondary to, you know, the larger single-family home. And these kinds of carriage house arrangements are coming back all across the country, really. Lots of communities that don't have much developable land left with their populations booming are looking into these accessory dwelling units, which most commonly only have one bedroom, one bathroom, and like a living room, kitchen, dining room combo, like a great room. And Kodiak's no different. We don't have a ton of land left to develop that wouldn't be expensive to develop, and land here is at a premium. And what we've seen across the country is that what people are looking for in a home isn't what it was 30 or 40 years ago. And what we have here in Kodiak is quite a bit of what people were looking for 30 or 40 years ago. We have some pretty large houses for 3, 4, or 5 bedrooms, you know, 2,000 square feet. And the reality is that that's not what the millennials want. They're going to be the ones owning, presumably, in the next few decades. And that as their parents get older, that's not what they're going to need either. So those combined with just some of the Kodiak specific housing issues that we've had over the last year or two or three, it's a good time to talk about what other housing options there may be. And right now, per our code, you can only have an ADU on an R2 zoned lot or an R3 zoned lot, which is two-family residential and multifamily residential. There are many grandfathered units that had, you know, they had the apartment before June 5th of 1980. But if a home is in a single-family residential zoning district and it's been built, an ADU has been built since 1980, it's technically a nonconformity. It's illegal per borough code. And it goes back to the chicken ordinance kind of thing too. It's a balance of personal property rights. What should people be allowed to do on their own property? And we've got a couple other things in the pipe, which I think we're going to get to, you know, residential small lots, being one of them. These are some good options, but ADUs is the closest right now to being passed. It's going to be on the Assembly's agenda on June 15th, at their June 15th regular meeting, which means that it'll be a topic of discussion at their work session the week prior. They've talked about it at, I think, 5 or 6 work sessions so far. But they're running into a lot of the same philosophical questions that the Planning and Zoning Commission did, and some of them seem easy to answer, but of course when you get to talking about them and what the impacts or implications could be, they're not so cut and dry. So you know, parking's been a big concern of people's, and the size of the ADU, should we say how many people can live in an ADU? Still some questions unanswered, but I think we're almost there.
All right, and so we only have a couple more minutes before we'll transition to World Cafe. Could you tell us again when the chicken hearing is happening?
Yeah, the public meeting for the chicken ordinance is next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers. That's a Tuesday, if I didn't say that. And then it'll be a discussion item at the P&Z work session on June 14th. So since it's not a public hearing item, please feel free to come and speak during public comments about it.
All right, Sarah Mason, thank you so much for joining us.